scripture comes from Revelation chapter 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in labor and agony to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. There was a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. His tail swept away a third of the stars in heaven and hurled them to earth. And the dragon stood in the front of the woman who was about to give birth to devour her child. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death.
You. I'd like to share this morning the subject, War in Heaven. Now, that's not the only subject of the chapter, but it's certainly a very prominent subject, and I think what we have before there, that this sign in heaven, I'd like for us to look at the subject of war. And you know that war is a common feature, a prominent feature, really a continual feature of our human history. Our history is really a history of wars, isn't it? If you've studied history, which most of us have, American history certainly, but all of world history, is really a history that's centered around the various wars that seem to be a constant part of our history. Without wars, historians would have little to write about. Jesus spoke of wars and rumors of wars, but even heaven has not escaped war's scourge. We're going to read about that here. If you have any doubts about it, I think you won't after you read and study this 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, why is that? Now, you might think, well, you know, can't God fix this problem that we have with wars? And maybe it originates with God, that, you know, even heaven has wars. So, you know, we might think that way. But I think that the more we study about the God of the Bible, we realize that He is a God who is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God who wants worship that is not coerced. And so He has created His beings, humans certainly, but even angelic beings, with a freedom of will. Now that's very important to realize. And so in that creation of people and angels with a freedom of choice, we have chosen as a race, Adam's race, which we are, we all are, we have chosen to go our own way. The Bible calls that sin. And it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now that's all of Adam's race. That's not necessarily, and it's not true of the angelic beings, as we will see. But some did sin. So these are important truths to keep in mind as we look at this 12th chapter. I want us to look first, what can we learn from this subject of war in heaven? I think we're interested to know, first of all, about its causes. What caused these wars in heaven? If we could look there at the opening verses of the chapter, it tells about these signs that appeared in heaven. Now, that may mean the heaven where God is. Now, of course, we know that God is everywhere, that He's not confined by time and space as we are. Or it could mean the universe, the stars. I have done a little bit of studying on this. I'm not an astronomer. Some of you may be, and you may know more about the different constellations and the different, like the Big Dipper, Small Dipper. I mean, I think we all know about those. There are astronomers who believe that this is really like an astrological sign that John saw. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do think, and I do agree, that God put those stars in heaven to point us to Him. The Bible says the heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And so I think there is some truth to that. I don't think that this is what John saw. I don't think he saw a constellation of stars. But I think that what God has created, He has created to bear testimony to Himself that He is the Creator. Now, it's not enough to bring us to salvation. That's why God gave us the Bible. That's why God sent His Son to show us what He is like. There are some causes of this war in heaven that we will read about shortly. And we, I think, find that here in these opening verses here that tell us about the historic causes of this war in heaven. Now, we're told about a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Now, you may be reading that and you may think, well, let's see, where did I find that? Where did I come across expressions like this before? A description of a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars. And you may remember the dream that Joseph dreamed, and he told his brothers about it. And it even got back to his father, Jacob, and Jacob wasn't too happy about it, because Joseph said that, he said the sun and moon and the 11 stars bowed down to worship him, Joseph. Now that's interesting, 11 stars. Actually, Joseph would have been the 12th star in this symbolism of, obviously, Israel. Jacob understood it that way. He said, are your mother and father going to be bowing down to you, let alone your brothers? You know, I know your brothers are jealous anyway, but are we, Jacob, and your mother, Rachel, going to be bowing down to you? I believe that this woman is Israel, very definitely. I mean, I believe that. Now, you may not agree with that. There are many other opinions, of course. There's those who believe this is the church. Some believe it's the Virgin Mary. But I believe it's Israel. The 12 stars, the moon under her feet. I was reading in Ironside about this. You know, Ironside is one of my favorites on writers on the book of Revelation. And he said that the moon, he believed, symbolized the old covenant, casting reflected light upon this woman. That was to bear a son. And that son was Jesus, obviously. I mean, to me. And I think you will understand that and agree with that. There are historic causes to this conflict that we're going to come across soon in this chapter. But did you notice that it says that she was about to give birth, and she was to give birth to a son. Now, my Bible has that son capitalized. And I think the translators must have understood that to mean the Son of God, Jesus. And who else could it be? A male who's going to shepherd all nations with an iron scepter? And her child was caught up to God and to his throne? Should that not call to our remembrance the Lamb who is seated in the midst of the throne, who is obviously our Lord Jesus Christ? So there are historic causes. There are theologic causes for this war. Theologic causes. God has revealed this. This was all God's design. It wasn't just kind of an accident of human history that Israel came into existence. I know that the devil hates Israel. And the reason why the devil hates Israel is because of God's covenant promises with him. God, the devil really hates God. And he hates anyone who has the favor of God upon them, which obviously Israel does. God has made covenants with, made promises with Israel that have not yet been fulfilled, that will be fulfilled during this great tribulation period. I think that's why this chapter is where it is here. Because God wants to remind us, certainly wants to remind his people, but us too, that what God does, he does forever. And there is a diabolic cause here. We come across the another individual here, a great fiery red dragon, it says. John writes in verse 3, another sign, he said, appeared in heaven. There was a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns. And on his heads were 7 diadems. His tail swept away a third of the stars in heaven and hurled them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she did give birth, he might devour the child. Now that has to be the devil. I think you would all agree. I would encourage you to study scriptures like Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel describes a beast very similar to this beast here. I think it's identical. Now, the words aren't identical, but the details are. I think if you'll look at that and study the book of Daniel, there is wonderful harmony between the two testaments when it comes to prophecy. There are people who read the book of Revelation and say, well, I don't understand it. You know, why even try? Well, have you read the Old Testament and the prophets, especially Daniel, Zechariah, Micah, Malachi, all of the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament scriptures, bear testimony to the coming of Christ. So we need to realize what the cause of this war in heaven. Does it not remind us, it should, I think, remind you and remind me of Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul writes about the battle that we are in, that our adversaries are not flesh and blood, but are principalities and powers of the spirit realm. There are dimensions in this universe that we really know little about. Now, I'm not trying to make you think of the Twilight Zone or that this is really weird. I think that there's certainly, you know, if you study physics and the universe, astronomy, there are many things in this universe we don't know. There are many places we have not been. And our physicists tell us about wormholes
and the black hole, you know, they don't know what's in there or what's going to happen when this universe collapses. Of course, they believe it's billions of years old. I believe that God spoke it into existence the way it is. And why not? Why not believe that rather than something that takes far more faith to me, the Big Bang? There's combatants. It's causes, it's combatants. And this is kind of a topical look at the chapter here. So I'm just going to kind of pick out some verses here and encourage you to study it, if you would. The dragon's tail, it says in verse 4, swept away a third of the stars in heaven, hurled them to the earth. And he stood in front of the woman about to give birth to devour her child. But she gave birth to a son, and we read that part. And he was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared there for 1260 days. And that's a very interesting verse there. It tells about how God is going to protect, I believe, during this awful period of the Great Tribulation, he's going to protect his people Israel, provide a place in the wilderness. Now, traditionally, Bible scholars have thought this would be Petra. But Petra is a very small area, a small canyon. It would be disastrous for God to lead a nation there of very many people. I think only about 1,000 people could be accommodated there. So and it would have to be someplace. But there are many places where God could provide a place like this, perhaps the Sinai Desert. It talks about how there will be great wings of an eagle that will carry his people there later down in the chapter. Verse 14, it said the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she could fly from the serpent's presence to her place in the wilderness where she could be fed for times and half a time. Now this is evidently the period of time, the second half of the Great Tribulation, when things will get much worse. There'll be the breaking of the covenant with God's people by the Antichrist. And we haven't really talked much about the Antichrist yet, but we will. But there are human combatants here, obviously. There will be people on earth during this awful period called the Great Tribulation. Now, I believe that according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that we who know the Lord, the Bible says, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, such as Bob and others who have gone before and in the faith, will rise first. And then we will be forever with the Lord, the Bible says. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But can you imagine what chaos is going to come upon the earth when that happens? Now, what's going to explain it? I think, you know, I have to believe this craze of the alien abductions. That seems to be very common, doesn't it? There was a program on television just the other night about that. I think on one of the networks, you know, not an old one that was replayed, but a new one. So it seems to be on the rise, this kind of thinking. Well, I think that the devil is going to try to explain this away by something like that, alien abduction. But however it happens, there's going to be a great deception. The Bible says that they will believe a lie, the people that are on earth. And there will be this hatred against, especially against Israel. Well, we see it now. We see now that the nations are really ganging up against Israel. And during the tribulation period, the church will not be here. But I think maybe the wings of an eagle there speak of perhaps flight. Airplanes, kind of like the Berlin airlift, on a much, much greater scale, taking the Israelites to a place of safety. Now, we've seen that, of course, some. We've seen the Israelites come from Russia and other places to Israel, their homeland. But I think this is going to be so much more intensive, and it's going to happen in just a very short period of time, the wings of an eagle. And I think, too, about our national symbol, of course, is the bald eagle. Could it be that the nation that is left here, which will just be, I think Washington will remain pretty unchanged. I think the government will be pretty intact. And I think that perhaps there will still be this sympathy with the Israelite people, the Jewish people, here in our nation especially. So I think that things will be somewhat the same, but it'll be, again, a period of time that you don't want to be here. And that's why God has told us in His Word about these things, so that we might flee from the wrath to come, the Bible says, that we might make our peace with God before it's too late. Conditions are going to be so much worse for accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. God's mercy is extended to us now in this age of grace. And this is when we need to make our decision for Him. There are angelic combatants. We're told about how the devil was cast out here and his angels. And there was war in heaven. We read that later about how Michael and his archangels, or Michael the archangel, that is, fought against the devil and his angels. The devil was cast down to the earth. He persecuted the woman, which gave birth to the man, it said, or the male. And then there are divine combatants as well. God is obviously the one fighting here against those who fight against Him. And the Bible says that Jesus will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants us to make our decision for Christ today. If you have not, would you make that decision before this awful period of night descends upon the earth? And you may be thinking, well, it can't get much worse than it is. Well, it's going to get a lot worse, believe me. And you don't want to be here. Not just don't believe me, but believe the Word. There are campaigns that we can learn from. It's causes, the causes of war in heaven. It's combatants. It's campaigns. Certainly celestial, or transitional rather. Transitional from one dimension to another. Now the Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. He has the power or the freedom evidently given to him by God to transverse dimensions, if you will, the spiritual dimension and the what we call the physical dimension. I remember years ago I read one of C.S. Lewis's books on life on other planets, and he believed that there is life on other planets, but it's angelic life. The devil and his angels, that they have the realm of the universe. And I don't know that that's true, but I know that he has great freedom to do his diabolical work. God has given him that freedom for some mysterious reason, but I think perhaps to help us to make our choice for God, and that our choice might be a real choice. So there's this warfare that is going on, an unseen warfare that we don't even see. All we see is what we see here on earth, the terrible conflicts going on even now. Just this week, there was a terrible terrorist attack in Pakistan. I'm sure you all saw that on television. So there's the transitional campaign. There is certainly the terrestrial campaign, because here it says that the devil was thrown to the earth. Michael and his angels. Incidentally, Michael is the protector of the Jewish people. You can read about that in Daniel chapter 10. It is terrestrial. He is thrown to the earth, the Bible says here. Later down in the chapter, I don't think we read this portion, but it says that when the devils or dragon saw that he had been thrown to earth. Now the dragon, of course, is the devil, but he is embodied as this last world system that will be in power at that time. Revived Roman Empire, many believe this will be, embodied by the Antichrist, and who is really a Satan incarnate, much like Christ is God incarnate. So there's the celestial campaign, there's the terrestrial campaign. It is a continual campaign, or temporal. Temporal meaning that it's in time. Now one day, the Bible says, and in fact it's already mentioned this in the book of Revelation, that time will be no more. That we will no longer be under this temporal scheme of things here, that the eternal kingdom will come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in concluding there in chapter 12 that the earth helped the woman, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had spewed from his mouth. Now I was reading in Ironside, and he believes that the river there is the false teachings that will be so prevalent in that time. We have them now, of course. But it's going to be so powerful that it's going to be very difficult for people to escape from these teachings. Without the knowledge of the Word of God, they would not escape. That's why we need to be getting the word out. We need to be doing as the Bible says, to warn people to flee from the wrath to come. And it tells us that he stood, the dragon did, on the sand of the sea. Now that introduces the 13th chapter. This is going to really get interesting. So I hope that you're here next week, and we're going to look at chapter 13 in this wonderful book of Revelation. I want to encourage you to study it. I was doing some research on the internet. I don't do most of my research on the internet, but I do sometimes. I'm interested to know what people are writing about. And you know, anyone can be an author today on the internet. You can write something and have it on the internet instantly. So that you have to be careful. But if you will do as the Berean believers did, search the scriptures daily, see if these things are so, prove them for yourself, and then apply them to your life, seek to win others to Christ before this awful night called the Great Tribulation descends upon the earth.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, hey, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, my knees? Oh, will I sing hallelujah? We'll be able to speak it all. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Hey, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, I can only imagine. when all I will do is forever worship you. Can only imagine, hey, imagine.